Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, July 18th, 2016. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Weaver, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Sinatra.
Lord God, King of Heaven and Earth, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day so that we may say and do things that are pleasing to you. We ask for your forgiveness when we fail you. Lord, we ask a special blessing for law enforcement in Baton Rouge at this time and across this nation for all the law enforcement that protect our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go a little bit out of order today is to take item C under County Commissioners, which is consider and possibly approve a resolution authorizing the establishment of Jefferson County Veterans Treatment Court. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Sinatra. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously, and I am going to read the resolution, and then I'm going to invite Commissioner Weaver, who's done a substantial amount of work in working with veterans organizations, Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, probation, and so forth. So I'm inviting him to make some introductions. Says, whereas servicemen and women returning from deployment, most recently from Iraq and Afghanistan, often come home with signature wounds of traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, military sexual assault trauma, or other mental illnesses suffered through their service for our freedoms. Whereas thousands of servicemen and women have served our country and have fought for our freedom, serving in Iraq and Afghanistan through fighting in Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation New Dawn, and other conflicts worldwide. Whereas the effects of these conditions are usually long-standing and often life-threatening by leading to high rates of suicide. Whereas numerous studies have demonstrated the untreated lingering effects of these injuries can adversely impact veterans' lives, resulting frequently in destroyed families, drug and alcohol dependency, unemployment, mental illness, incarceration, and homelessness. Whereas these results are revealed in communities through an increase in unemployment rates, public health care treatment costs, mental illness costs, alcohol and drug treatment costs, family breakups, disrupted lives for both adults and children. Whereas Section 124.002 of the Texas Government Code provides authority for a county to establish a veteran treatment court program for persons arrested for or charged with criminal offenses. And whereas that section of the Texas Government Code defines veteran treatment court program to mean a program that integrates services in the processing of cases in the judicial system, uses a non-adversarial approach involving prosecutors and defense attorneys to promote safety and to protect due process rights of program participants. Number three, timely identifies and promptly places eligible participants in the program. Four, provides access to a continuum of alcohol, controlled substance, mental health, and other related treatment and rehabilitative services. Number five, monitors carefully the treatment and services provided to program participants. Six, provides a coordinated strategy to govern program responses to participants' compliance. Seven, provides ongoing judicial interaction with program participants. Eight, monitors and evaluates program goals and effectiveness. And nine, continues interdisciplinary education to promote effective program planning, implementation, and operations, and develops partnerships with public agencies and community organizations, including the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, who are present here today. And whereas Jefferson County Criminal District Attorney Bob Wortham created a Veterans Court Task Force to study and identify the needs of veterans living in and around Jefferson County, and whereas task force members included members of Jefferson County DA's office, Commissioner Brent Weaver, U.S. Marine veteran, representatives of MHMR, Jefferson County Community Supervision and Corrections, Jefferson County Veterans Service Officer, Texas Veterans Commission, Military Peer Network, Department of Veterans Affairs, Texas Veterans of Foreign Wars and Veterans Justice Outreach, and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. And whereas this task force studied inmates booked in the Jefferson County jail for a period from January 27th, 2016 through July 13th, 2016, and such study identified through the Veterans Reentry Service Report System database shows 159 arrestees, veterans who provided service to their country. And whereas as a result of the study and needs identified, the District Attorney Bob Wortham and Jefferson County 58th District Court Judge Kim Walsh, along with other members of the task force, desire to develop and establish for citizens of Jefferson County a veterans treatment court program in Jefferson County to provide services for qualified honorably discharged veterans arrested or charged with a felony or misdemeanor. And whereas Judge Walston of the 58th District Court, a U.S. Navy veteran, will serve as the primary court for veteran participation, and Judge Clint Woods, County Court of Law Number 3, will serve as an alternate court for veteran participants. And whereas Section 124.0 of 2A1 and 2 of the Texas Government Code defines defendants eligible to participate in veterans treatment court program only if the attorney representing the state consents to the defendant's participation in the program, and if the court finds the defendant is a veteran or current member of the United States Armed Forces, including a member of the Reserve, National Guard, or State Guard, who suffers from brain injury, mental illness, or mental disorder, including post-traumatic stress disorder, or was a victim of military sexual trauma that occurred during or resulted from the military service and affected the defendant's criminal conduct at issue in the case, or is the defendant whose participation in the Veterans Treatment Court program, considering the circumstances of the defendant's conduct, personal and social background, and criminal history, is likely to achieve the objective of ensuring public safety through rehabilitation of the veteran in the manner provided by Section 1.021 of the Texas Penal Code. Whereas the Jefferson County Commissioners Court finds the creation of a Veterans Treatment Court is in the best interest of the public and supports the men and women serving our country in the United States Armed Forces, therefore be resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County, Texas, is hereby established pursuant to Section 1.4.02 of the Texas Government Code, the Jefferson County Veterans Treatment Court for qualified honorably discharged veterans arrested or charged with an offense in Jefferson County, Texas, and this day by the members of the Commissioners Court. And I think that's the longest resolution I've ever had to read. Commissioner Weaver, you've been working with a lot of people to get this done. I'll turn it over to you and let you make whatever introductions or let anyone that you've invited here today to make whatever comments they want to make.
Judge, Commissioners, thank you for taking this under consideration today and approving it. This is something that is much needed. Be a value to Jefferson County and those that have served our country and have more potential to offer through the judicial system and working with these different peer networks, who I will comment on here briefly. First, let me say to the District Attorney Bob Wortham, thank you for being the tip of the spear on this and getting this moving, and thank you for allowing Ashley to work so closely with us. Ashley, I really appreciate your due diligence in this whole process. With the probation department, Rick, are you here? I really appreciate your time and efforts involved throughout this process. And Sheriff Chief Miller played a very valuable role in the reentry data program that's running through the jail. So thank you very much. I'd like to thank both of our judges that are going to be involved with the Veterans Treatment Court, Judge Kent Walston and Judge Clint Woods. Judge, I think you're from the Judge Walston's out today, but Judge Woods, thank you very much. This has been a long process. There's a lot of moving parts, but we're fortunate to have a lot of partners to work with us to really make this court stand out and be different from some of the others in the state. And I'd like all of our partners that are here today that are going to be working with us on this to please come up to the podium at this time. Go ahead. And I'm speaking to our veterans group and our peer network counseling groups. Mark, I'd like for you, if you would, please make some comments.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Just identify yourself.
I'm Mark Morris. I'm the Veterans Justice Outreach Specialist in And I've been working with Jefferson County to get this court established. We will be, the VA will be playing a significant role in the court, especially with referring to clinical services, substance abuse, PTSD. We're going to try to get the referrals to our VA health service. It's been, I'd like to, we were talking about establishing a different court, excellent court in Jefferson County. This is really the first time we ventured outside the contiguous Harris County, Houston area. So we're kind of venturing into new territory of the VA and Jefferson County together to get this court going. Another aspect that we're working on is telehealth. So the services from the Mike Lee DeBakey in Houston will be available for veterans in Jefferson County via tablets and computers. And that's a big, going to be a big part of the program. So I'm really looking forward. I've had a great time working with the Jefferson County staff. And I'm looking forward to continuing that relationship and the VA's relationship to help veterans to get them services and access to services that they would need out here. So thanks again, everybody in Jefferson County and the court for passing the resolution to make this possible.
Well, obviously, I want to thank the Commissioner Weaver and Bob Gordon and Judge Wood and Judge Walsh for their willingness to do this. But most especially, I want to thank the veterans that are behind you and push this issue for their service in our country.
Right. I'd like to say, Judge, you know, when I saw this resolution and read this resolution, I think about those five officers, eight officers now that were killed, and find that the two shooters were veterans and honorably discharged. I mean, I think that's red flags. You don't just wake up and shoot police. So, I mean, that's red flag. So this thing, and I noticed in that resolution that, you know, sometimes I heard on the radio this morning that he was in the barbershop bragging about, you know, this. Everybody want to blame Black Lives Matter and this person caused that problem and that person. Those guys had been to Iraq. I don't know if that's what caused it. I'm not going to even sit here and pretend. But they were veterans and they were honorably discharged. So hopefully you guys on the front line will pick that up and the red flag, and maybe we can save some people's lives, not just officers' lives. So thank you. I think that's part of the resolution that excites me the most. And it's not a game, and Judge Woods and DA Wortham and Boston, when you see those red flags, you never know. I mean, you know, I learned a long time ago. I taught special ed for 20 years, and every kid mattered. When they pass by, they're a little different than they were yesterday. You never know what they're thinking. So I know everybody want to blame and say these guys were hate-filled. Sometimes it's just mental illness. So thank you, guys. I hope y'all see those red flags. I hope it never happens in Jefferson County, but if it happens in St. Louis, if it happens in Dallas, Baton Rouge, it happened here. So thank you, guys.
Is there anybody else from the committee that would like to speak and represent their organization?
My name is Tim Winberg. I am the Military Veteran Peer Network Peer Coordinator for a four-county area. Thank you, Jefferson County, for taking us on board with this court. And if you have any persuasion with the other counties, kind of lean on them for us. We're a program that's been started as part of the Texas Veteran Commission and the Department of Health and Human Services. We have all kinds of resources for mental health issues and homelessness. We have a two-page reference list for just this area. We are currently going to have, three of us are going to be trained by the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to be court mentors. We've been mirroring the other courts in the area. I've been with the peer coordinators that already have their courts established in the area and have been for a while, like Mark said earlier. We're the first ones outside of that Harris County area. And I thank y'all for allowing us to be on the cutting edge. And if there's anybody that would like to know anything more about that, please just give us a call, look us up. And we are more than willing to help in any way that we can to get you guys influence other counties. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just to clarify just a few things, speaking on behalf of the, what these courts are meant to be. First of all, you have to be eligible to go through this process. And that is something you're vetted through the VA and you're vetted through the district attorney's office. So not all offenses are going to fit the criteria. But this does give an opportunity, for example, those veterans that have been honorably discharged, they come back home, they use alcohol and abuse alcohol to the extent that it does start causing some problems. Those are people that we can help, and we can give them a second chance. Obviously, more serious offenses, that's going to be for later discussion. And from what I understand, that can make you ineligible. But this is to help people that kind of trip it a little bit, so to speak. And, they fall back on alcohol and drugs and that kind of thing. So this is a good thing. It will give someone a second chance and help them. And so just can't reiterate how much I appreciate everybody that's worked through this process.
Gentlemen, Commissioner Weaver, first of all, thank you for thinking about the veterans from that standpoint. But more important than that, the wraparound services that's provided, because we have a large number of veterans that we know that are walking the streets that have those illnesses, and we need to help them in any way we can. So I'm glad that you mentioned that you will be trained and that you're supposed to help human services so we can try to tap into that funding, because this is another part of this thing, to make sure we have the funding to provide those services, because that's where really the rubber meets the road with this thing.
I'm Jim Seals. Judge Brannick and I met on this before he was elected. We had talked about it, and we had one meeting before, but we didn't have the interest in it then that the court has now, and the DA's office. I would like to thank the judge for stepping up and making it happen. He's been instrumental. He's attended our meetings at Stumptop Center, where we have all our advocates there available, where he saw, what we have available to the veterans. I'm the Texas VFW State Community Service Officer. I'm the one that comes out here and is going to be visiting the community, well, all over Texas. I've been involved in peer support for about 6 years before the inception of the MVPN. We worked that out together in Austin on a TBC commission trip, and it's been outstanding. It's worked really well. And Tim has taken over. I had the four county area before Tim's taken that over, which I very much appreciate, and very much appreciate the court indulging us in this. Thank you.
Thank you. And y'all are more than welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, or you're welcome to exit.
Judge Worthen, Judge Woods, would y'all like to say anything on behalf of the program?
We appreciate the commission granting this court. I think it'll be very helpful for the citizens of Jefferson County. Say that it's a much needed program. I've only been a judge a little over a year and a half now, and I've already been affected by this. I had a young man who was on probation already when I got there, and it was unfortunate that I dealt with a man, tried to help him out. He was off probation, and then about 2 or 3 months after that, I found out online that he had committed suicide. So I think it's a much needed program. Hopefully there will be things that we can do that can help these people. It's unfortunate that they give all that they have for our country and come back and there's not much there for them. So hopefully there's a system like this in place that we can take care of these people, get them back on the right path, get them back into society, and help them be productive citizens so we can avoid situations that I've come across before.
Thank you. And just one more time, Ashley, thank you very much for seeing this through and working with us and through this process.
We'll move on to item number purchasing. I made it center approve execute receiving file on AT&T switched Ethernet service pricing schedule for updated MIS Ethernet bandwidth in 14 different county sites. In accordance with AT&T master agreement approved on June 22nd, 2015. I think it says 2105, but we're not quite there yet. Monthly cost will be $8,446.50 for a 60-month period. Item B is consider and approve execute receiving file contract with Talks Corporation, a provider of Equifax verification services for income and employment verification services with work number for the Jefferson County Public Health Department. Item E is to consider and approve execute receiving file sole source exemption pursuant to local government code section 262.102.47A for the scanning of military discharge records into the TRTA. Government all-known records management software used by the county clerk, Thompson Reuters, Mantron, cost for an estimated quantity of 51,000 images is $3,825. And B is considered properly approved disposition of salvage property authorized by local government code 6263.1523 for broken or obsolete items. Motion on those items under purchasing.
So
moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under county auditor, item A is consider approved budget transfer for veteran services for additional costs for fax kits in the amount of $1,000. Item A will hold. Item B is consider approved budget transfer for Constable Precinct 7 for additional costs for extra health in the amount of $4,500. Item B is regular. Other item B. Regular county bills check number 422701 through 422982. We have a motion on those items under county auditor. Moved by Commissioner Senegal. Seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under county commissioners, item A is to consider and possibly approve receive file financial statements of Jefferson County Emergency Services District Number 1, Texas Health and Safety Code Section 775.082. Item B is to consider and possibly approve a resolution to support the Gulf Coast Community Protection and Recovery District Inc. Board of Directors approving amendments to its agreement with Texas General Land Office and approving amendments to its agreement with Danbaugh Engineering. Item D is considered possibly approved receiving file property tax paid between Jefferson County, Texas, and Zeo Gas LLC pursuant to Section 312.401 of the Texas Tax Code. Item E is considered possibly approved requesting the Texas Department of Transportation to include additional projects to the County Transportation Infrastructure Grant Program for concrete pavement repair, Northwest Forest Subdivision, Precinct 1 of the Concrete Pavement Repair, Forest Central Subdivision, to Precinct 2. Do I have a motion on those items under County Commission? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Discussion.
I have a couple of things that I want on this grant. The last item is that it's no match to that, correct? It's just a plain grant, outright grant.
No, that yes, sir. They have to be, the project has to be approved by TxDOT.
Okay.
This is the,
I got you.
What we discussed at the workshop.
I got you.
Yeah, this is the grant leftover money from the road projects.
Okay.
Okay, and I'd also mention on item B, a resolution for the Board of the Gulf Coast Community Protection and Recovery District, Inc., GLO, obtained a little over $3.2 million in additional federal funding for storm surge suppression studies and engineering for coastal armament against storm surge. And because the recovery district is made up of six counties of Orange, Jefferson, Chambers, Harris, Galveston, and Brazoria counties, the board made up of representatives of each commissioner's court, and each commissioner's court has to approve these changes, but it's basically to accept the additional $3.2 million for study and engineering of storm surge suppression and storm surge armament of the coastline.
And Judge, I have one other, and I'm a whole Senator Park, Honorable Senator Park, that's in our presence, and David, y'all know my thing, local jobs, local contractors, local opportunities. That's all I have to say. And I'm gonna hold you guys too, because you're the ones that gave me the call. Okay? All right.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Tax Assessor Collector, item A, consider and possibly approve a resolution giving permission to the sheriff's collection auction to sell property currently held by Jackson County and the entity for which it collects. The auction will be held on the first Tuesday of September 2016. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Sinnovel, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Judge, point of clarification.
The other one was to approve the sole source exemption, this one is to approve the extension of the money. A, under County Clerk, to consider and possibly approve an expenditure from the County Clerk Records Management Fund in the amount of $3,825 for scanning of 85 volumes of military discharge records by Thompson Rogers under statement of work, PX0713-16JC. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Alford, second by Commissioner Sinnovel. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under Engineering, item A, is consider and possibly approve an overweight, what did I do that one?
No.
Overweight vehicle permit 02 of W16, attached road use agreement to fill in for construction of pipeline and heavy haul racks, hauling timber mat, trackos, and other heavy equipment along Craig Road, Wilbur Road, East Hampshire, and Lee Road. That project is located in precincts 2 and 3. Do I vote on that?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Sinnovel, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. Commissioner, I'm just going to get some information from Don. How long do you think this will last?
Commissioner, this is for the duration of construction of a pipeline. I can't tell you exactly, but they're going to be in and out pretty quick.
But anything on Craig Road Bridge, that's one of the newest bridges, so we don't have the limits there that we...
No, we don't have to worry about the bridges.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Jackson County Officer, the other item A, is to discuss fiscal year 2016-17 budget situation. Mr. Swain.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, what we've passed out and what should be over on the side here is a summary of what our budget requests were, just kind of an overall summary. And what we wanted to do is kind of give you, Judge, you kind of asked me about this because we're on a little shorter timeline than we've been in the past, because we've actually pushed our budget hearings into August 1st in order to be able to have that tax number, the property tax number, final roll. Two most significant revenues we have are property taxes and sales tax. Been providing y'all with information on sales tax. I think we had pretty good money last month. Sure like to see $2 million a month each month. We break it sometimes. Sometimes we're under. When we get the final adjusted roll or final approved roll, certified roll from the appraisal district, we might have to make one change that we haven't been doing in the past, and that's probably the accounts that are under litigation. Something that kind of caught us this year was after we had levied the taxes, there was a settlement with one of the refineries, and we ended up paying back some money in the previous year, but also it forced our property tax revenue down this year because it was settled after, that's just how it was settled in December, end of November, December.
Well, this year we've dealt with year after year, but my understanding, I heard correctly that I think Thursday is where all this resolved their issues, so I don't think that's true. We're not going to have any litigation issues this year.
Well, that would be wonderful. But going back to the schedule, kind of, you know, what we do, currently our adopted budget for the current year we're in is $123,408,154. Fran's done a great job identifying the some of the highs that have come across, budget requests, and some that we had to put in as part of doing the budget package. Large number was for some capital expenditure requests. We're going to need to do those. I think we've had, we might just realize we're going to draw down reserves on that because we do have some equipment that needs to be replaced. In the general services line items, you have a variety of termination allowance, but your payoff for your sick leave and your vacation time, some of those items have increased. You do show an increase for the Ford part transfer, but a lot of that is basically not the operations, but their capital requests. We have them turn in what would be the operational shortfall, but then we also ask that, what can you identify out there that needs to be replaced as far as capital items. So that's part of that big increase. We do have about six positions, new positions that are being requested, and a few reclass adds and increases. That's about $558,000. Our health insurance cost is going to go up. The one we know probably we're estimating right now is the retiree health insurance. Currently, we don't have a final on our active employees. Our risk pool has put it out for bids to give proposals or ask them to take proposals. So it'll be closer towards the end of the budget year. We'll probably determine that number towards the end of the budget cycle. We did have some increase for our contributions to some of the entities that we contribute money to. You do have already a sheriff union step increase in there, built into your packet, and the constable union I believe is in the last year and they're at 2%. That was a 4-year deal and I think it was 2% each year. We did have a couple of different decreases overall, but for the most part we're up $3.6 million. If you roll over to the next schedule, just give you an idea of what we're looking at to start the year off. These are all estimates right now, but for that one first number, that's a good hard number. Beginning available fund balance to start October of 2015 was committed to general funds $47 million. We're estimating revenues of $113,817,623. Estimated expenditures in the current year we're in at $117,747,604. That's not the amount of $123 million that's our current budget, and so that's good news. A little bit of bad news is we're actually going to draw down. We're projecting to draw down on our fund balance. That's something we haven't known.
Yeah. $4 million.
That's 3.9. Yeah, there you go. $4 million. That's something we haven't done in a while. So just be aware of that. Wanted to kind of run through the calendar since it's shortened up just a little bit. August 1st, we'll start our budget hearings. We're looking at probably 3 days of bringing departments in. We do have Thursday and Friday open in case we need to deal with any other issues. If you look, most of the items after that are setting up pending budget workshops. Our budget workshops to discuss the pending items for what we don't clear up in our initial hearings. We have those for 15. That's it. Usually we have a couple of those, so we're not going to have many. And then we have to start rolling into any possible discussions on the tax rate, of course. I know most of the commissioners' feelings, as it's been in the past, as we do what we can as much as possible to keep that rate. It's about 36 and a half cents. You're looking at filing a budget with the county clerk around September 16th and doing an adoption of the tax rates and adopting the budget on the 26th, and then we would actually receive the following budget. Actually, budget approval will be done September 26th.
Patrick?
Yes, sir?
You know, we are deep into July. Have we gotten any feedback from the appraisal division?
We've been keeping, they've been doing a good job of giving me the updates. But, you know, I think in the past, we've kind of learned from the preliminary to final. We're just going to wait on the final this year. But so far, it's, I think our last one was, how's it started going down each time I got it as far as additional revenue. So it's almost, it was close to being flat.
I think our non-industrialized county can take a lot, put a lot more speed into the preliminary appraisal rule. It's a lot less likely that ag or residential land is going to skew the whole revenue picture. And we can have happened to us, which is one more time, about the uniformity and quality point. My concern is that, you know, you've got it on that second page, estimated revenue for 2015-2016 is about $132 million. January 1st of 2014 over to 106. January 1st of 2015 it was 63. We lost $7.2 million. I don't know what they're setting it at this year, but I know it's going to be less. So I'm concerned about lower revenue estimates. So if it's $2 million, is that approximated? And that would mean on a flat budget, we would spend $6 million into our reserve fund, which I don't think is a wise move, that we would end up at a point in just a few short years where we have to raise taxes. And I know that's not on anybody's plate up here on this podium. We deeply appreciate your budget. Would somebody say?
Okay, Patrick, one other thing.
Yes, sir.
The abatements that we're doing have done, can y'all bring us some numbers on those abatements that rolled on?
We
how
can.
Close to the for those performers that we project, how close have we been and how far have we been on?
Let me get with probably work with the appraisal district and Fred on that. You know, the two of our biggest ones are 3-8-1 agreements. That's yes. Hotel and Motel. Those are the longest ones. And sometimes that refund all depends on that value of what that facility is. So sometimes that can factor in. We might not have to give as much back. But, in the past, it continues to go up on what our refund. The other is, when you initially set the project and you give the abatement, a lot of times when it ends up rolling on to the schedule, it's at a lot of value. So, just because it's older.
Well, you're going to expect an appreciation over a period of 10 years on a bigger project, but a couple of our, like in particular BASF, that rolled off significantly lower than what we anticipated depreciation was going to be. So we
okay, that's a bunch of cheaper feedstock, and got them out of the competition picture, so, I think even the appraisal district agreed with what their numbers were, one thing that's got to be, so, it's just one of the things that couldn't be retained, but.
The number for the 43 million at the bottom of the general fund balance, is that after the drawdown of the 4 million? Is that the total after that?
Yes, Commissioner, that's what we're estimating, right?
And so we won't really know our savings till the end of this budget, pretty much.
Well, I mean, right now, you would have to either pick up, not spend the 117 million that we're projecting right now, or pick up a little more in revenue to actually not draw down on fund balance. For the most part, we're looking at, you know, what the first year is to draw down. I mean, but I guess when you say savings, thinking, are we going to increase our savings?
Yeah, I mean,
that 43 million is a good number right now. We believe on what we're going to start the year off with. We always hope it gets better, but it's just those unknowns. We've got about 5 more months of sales tax to collect, and I think, you know, last year was extremely volatile at the end of the year. We had to cut a large refund on a sales tax of about $3.6 million that came out and hit us at the end of the year. So other things like that. But for the most part, we feel comfortable with the 43 million starting the year off the next year, and October 1st.
That's very important because, you know, we're not going to make everyone understand. We have no control over natural disasters. If we get a hurricane, we have to have rainy day fund and money in the bank to get this county back up and going. It is very essential and important to the citizens of this county.
And that's roughly all I have, gentlemen, for now. I think all the packets have been delivered to y'all last week. And so with that being said, we do have a budget schedule. I didn't attach it, but we do have a schedule that will start on August 1st and then 30 in the morning.
Thank you
very much.
Y'all have a great day.
And both.